Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And let's read that. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, we're talking about the church, the mystery of the church. And I'm hoping that I can get a little deeper with that tonight. So before we go any further, let's have a prayer and then we'll continue. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity once again today, Lord, to come to you in prayer, but also to, Lord, study your word. We thank you for it. Ask you to open our hearts and minds to it. Give us discernment. In these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the unsearchable riches, literally, if you look that up and you really study the wording of it, it's untraceable. I can't say it. Untraceable riches. You can't find the teaching of the mystery of one body anywhere in the Old Testament. It's not there. So just to kind of go back a little bit, Paul was letting them know, listen, there's a mystery that Christ revealed to me. And by the way, it was revealed to him. And he was to preach that in the churches. And also, if you look at it, we don't know totally how many churches are out there when the church of Jerusalem got scattered. But we do know there was one at Damascus because Paul was heading there to wreak havoc on them. So we know it was there, but it was still only preaching to the Jews. That's who they preached to. Paul was given this mystery of the gospel, which is the church, but it is to bring the Jew and the Gentile together into one body. Now, it was a mystery that was hidden in Christ. Look at verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That'll teach me to pull away from where I'm at. So the mystery was hidden in Christ. And really in Paul's ministry, there was a dual ministry. Whenever Paul went somewhere, the first thing he did was he went straight to the Jews. He went straight to the synagogue. He would preach it to them and then he would pull out of that. Eventually, he quit doing that. But Paul was to make known the dispensation, the fellowship. In other words, and that's the same word it's used in verse 2. It says, if ye have, chapter 3, yeah, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. If you look that up, it really means the fellowship of the grace of God. And he was to preach that and the mystery to the church, enlightening them on what this is about. The church was to, maybe I should reword that. The church was and is to still. Not was to, because we got to say it was to and is still. Where was that? I lost my place. To reveal the wisdom of God to angelic beings. You see, they watch us. And according to verse 12... of chapter 6. Hang on to where we're at. But verse 12 of chapter 6. Remember, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there's principalities and powers, but now look at verse 10 over here in chapter 3. He says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So not only are we manifesting this mystery unto the angels in heaven, but it's also manifesting this mystery was big time and still is to the powers of darkness, to the what I want to say, demons. That'll work. Angels, honestly, are learning about God's grace through the church. They really are. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hang on to Ephesians. 1 Peter chapter 1. Somewhere. That's right before chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 12, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto the Holy Ghost, sent unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Because they don't totally understand it. And they didn't totally understand the mystery because God kept it hidden. And there's a reason God kept it hidden. So angels, honestly, are learning about God's grace through the church, which I think is... we think of angels as they know everything, but they don't. They don't know everything. The prophets didn't understand it. The apostles, the 11 for sure, did not quite understand all of what Paul preached. And if you go into Peter, you'll find out that Peter said, by the way, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, by the way, Brother Paul is teaching some hard things. He was still having some issues with it. The Jews did not see the humor in all of this. They failed to get it right off the bat. It took some time in order for them to understand what was going on. Now, Satan knows the scriptures. God, though, in his wisdom, godly wisdom, he kept this mystery, this program of his for the church, he kept it hidden. And God prevented Satan from hindering the plan. You know Satan hinders you? He hindered prayers that were coming to Daniel. When you go over there in the book of Daniel, you'll find, I think it's either chapter 10 or chapter 12. I don't forgot, right in there somewhere. He said he was laying there waiting on an answer, been waiting on an answer for a long time, and I may get them mixed up, but I'm pretty sure it was Gabriel that was supposed to show up. And Gabriel apologized. He said, look, he said, I tried to get here sooner, but the king of Tyre, which was saying Satan, we were having a fight with him, and Michael was with me, and we were having a fight. That's the reason I didn't get here quicker with your answers. You see, Satan hinders our prayers, and he's good at what he does. God prevented him from understanding the plan, from even knowing about the plan, because Satan took Christ to the cross. You see, now I know that was planned from the foundations of before the foundations of the world. I get that. But if Satan had have understood what was going to take place by Christ being hung on that cross, he'd have done everything within his power to put a stop to that. But he had no idea. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 2 and 1 and 10, 1 through 10, you can read about that. And it says, if they had have known, they would have never crucified Christ. Because by that, it was empowering the church. When Jesus was crucified, he was limited. at what he was doing. That sounds funny, but it's true. Because he was 100% man walking around in Israel. He was limited to what he could do. It was just to right there. But by him dying and the Comforter coming, the Holy Ghost coming and indwelling in all believers, it opened a huge door. Not only that, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The church was empowered by the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost empowered the church, and they done some praying. The walls shook, brought an angel out of heaven, walked into a jail, set Peter free. I mean, there's all kind of stuff took place because of that. It empowered the church. Unreal. Now, here... Well, I don't know if I want to go to all that. Let me back up a little bit. So, in today's time, let's look at something that came to my mind the other day, and me and Sandy talked about it, and I've talked about it with other people. What is a scriptural church? Just because it has the name Baptist on it, does that make it a scriptural church?
No.
Nah, probably not. Because, by the way, it wasn't the first Baptist church at Damascus. it wasn't the first Baptist church of Corinth. Actually, they call it, it was a church. They said the church of God in Corinth. The church at Ephesus. I don't know if it had a name out there on it other than maybe the church of Ephesus. I don't know how that, but they did meet differently because they met in homes. I think it was safer for them to meet in homes. But let's think about it. What does make a scriptural church? Now, I could say there's a lineage. And I could say, well, I know a guy. Let me just back up. I talked to a fellow. He's a young guy. He's a doctor now. But the church that he grew up in traced themselves to the Ethiopian eunuch. Pretty impressive. Actually, it was kind of funny because he was an exchange student, and he was at the church where I was at. I wasn't pastoring it, and we were going to have the Lord's Supper. And he was all worried and bent out of shape. He didn't know what to do, and he come to the pastor, and he said, look, he said, I got a problem. That's who he was living with, by the way. And he said, what's your problem? He said, well, I'm not a member of the church. He said, I can't partake of the Lord's Supper. And he said, really? He said, why? Which, by the way, the church there at where I was at in Kentucky was closed with a day of communion. And it was only a member of that church you could only partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, this kid told him, he said, well, I can't do that because it's only for that church. And he said, well, that's how I grew up. He said, that's what the Ethiopian eunuch told this pastor, which told this pastor, which told this pastor, all the way down through all those years. And I was like, oh, wow, that's good. You know, because I never heard anybody other than my father-in-law or some of the other churches I've went to and what I've studied in the scriptures that backed all of that up, that other churches did that. I'm like, oh, that's interesting that the Ethiopian eunuch, according to their records, taught that for that church. And among a lot of other things he taught. By the way, where are you hiding at? Which chapter in Acts, Sister Deanna, do you go to if you want to go out and start a church? As many times as we went over that in our school. Add 6 to that. No, add 6 to that. Chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are working in the church at Antioch. The church, the Holy Spirit told the church, separate me out, Paul and Barnabas, because I'm going to send them to a work. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Amen. It's not supposed to be just, I get up one morning and I'm like,
Well, I feel pretty good about being a Christian. I think I'll just go start a church. It don't work that way. That ain't what the Word of God teaches you. You don't just wake up one day and just decide, well, I think I'll just go start a church. Now, there has been some churches started that way, but it ain't a biblical, I'm going to be up front with you. It ain't a biblical church. It ain't a scriptural church. If it is started that way, it's not. It's supposed to be started just like Acts chapter 13 says. You send somebody out because the Holy Spirit says, separate me, these two guys, for to be a missionary. Pray over them, lay your hands on them, and send them out. And that's what they did.
Now, in today's world, sometimes it's hard to know what a scriptural church is. A lot of them can't trace their mother church and their mother church and their mother church because records get burned up and things get misplaced. I'm going to tell you something. If you walk into a church and they're preaching and teaching the Word of God, then I'll go ahead and tell you that's a scriptural church. I'm not concerned with the fact that it belongs to the ABA, American Baptist Association, or the Baptist Missionary Association, or the Southern Baptist, or that ain't my concern. My concern is, what are they doing here? Amen. And if somebody gets saved, how do they know they get saved? Is it because the preacher said so? Or is it because they asked the Lord to save them? Do they teach the virgin birth? Are they putting Mary on a pedestal? Listen, Mary was a special woman, but she ain't no more special than my wife. She really wasn't. That's just who the Lord chose. And guess what? She could have said, no, I don't do that. And he found somebody else. Because people worship Mary, and that's wrong.
So there's things in here that are black and white. Plain as day. That's what you're supposed to do. God sent John the Baptist to do what? Somebody tell me.
Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what? No, it wasn't. To preach the kingdom. The kingdom's coming. What kingdom? The 1,000-year reign. That's what he was preaching. The kingdom's coming. But he was doing something that God told him to do. What extra was there?
Baptism.
So here's the way you baptize. You got your bucket out here, and I bring you out here, and I say, hey, this fellow here is trusting the Lord Jesus. We're going to baptize him. If they do that in the church where you think might be a scriptural church, it ain't, so get out.
I'm just going to be up front with you. If they do anything other than dump you in a baptistry and... Well, let me back up. You don't have to be in a baptistry. It may be in a oversized fish tank. I've seen people baptized in the reservoir. I've seen people baptized in the swimming pool. I've seen them baptized in the Kentucky River. I've seen them baptized in the ocean, the Caribbean, down in Belize. I've seen them baptized in horse tanks where horses drink water. But here's the key. They were taken, they were put there, they said, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior? Yes, I have. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, by the power invested in me by a certain church. Because God didn't invest the power in me. He invested power in John the Baptist. To do that. Then later in years, the church was started and the power was given to the church authority.
Amen.
Then they were taken and, yep, I'm saved. And they went under the water and back up. That is baptism. Amen. And if a church is teaching any different than that,
then they're a bunch of heretics. They're wrong. And it ain't a scriptural church. They ain't following. It's not good. That's why we got such a mess out there now. Because people just let it go and let it do all of it. So when you're out and about one of these days, you win that $1 million somehow. Don't be out gambling. And you move somewhere. Well, no, your rich uncle gives you all his money and you decide, you know what, I want to get out of the desert, it's hot. When you go to a church and try it out, you pay attention to what they're teaching.
Amen.
The teaching is important. Because if they ain't teaching what that word says and if they're adding anything else to it, they're wrong. Now, I can honestly tell you there's some gray areas. I hate to say it that way, but for lack of better words, there's some gray areas. To me, there's not, but sometimes there is. To me, at one time, there was a few gray. Lord's Supper, that's one of them gray areas. I don't understand that, why it's gray, but at one time, I saw it that way. But according to 1 Corinthians, Paul laid out how you're supposed to do the Lord's Supper. Who did he tell that to? Somebody tell me. A specific church in Corinth. If it was supposed to be to everybody, it'd be in the book of John. The book of John covers everybody, by the way. John did not write to a church. Matthew didn't write to a church. Luke didn't write to a church. And Mark didn't write to a church. The Apostle Paul did. By the way, who was given to reveal the mystery of the church? The Apostle Paul. That's why we study the Apostle Paul's epistles so much, is because he wrote it to churches. He told them in Ephesians. He said, he compared it to me and my wife, Jesus and the church. That wasn't everybody out there, or it would have been put in the book of John. It was to a specific church. So if we want to know what a scriptural church is, when you go and talk to the pastor, ask him what they're doing. Ask him what they think about some certain things in here. Mainly, you want to know that they preach there's one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. It was a virgin birth. He bled and died on the cross of Calvary and he rose again.
Amen.
That's your main thing. Now we can go with the rest. Because if they're teaching that any differently, if they're saying, well, you can get saved, but now you've also got to get baptized. Get out of there because they're wrong. It ain't a scriptural. If you add anything to salvation other than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you already got your answer. You ain't got to go no further. If I die tomorrow, she's going to sling a lot of snot. Y'all take care of her. But if I do, you're going to be looking for somebody to fulfill the pulpit. You need to be praying about it. And when they get here, you better ask them some questions.
Amen.
And some of you know what questions to ask. And you better be asking because they're important. And I don't want to get totally into that. One of the tragics of today, and we're going to stop here in just a second. One of the tragics today, though, and I've been guilty of it to a point. But pastors and churches, they tend to focus their ministry on the kingdom. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. Listen, I ain't worried about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. What we need to be remembering is that we're building the Lord's church. We're not building that kingdom that's going to come. We're building the Lord's church.
Amen.
That church is His bride, which, by the way, when He comes back, that bride's coming with Him. The Bible says so. And I'm not going to go into that super deep, but I will tell you that that's what we need to focus on. Paul focused on it. The Lord shed his blood for the church. And I think we need to focus on the church. Amen. We need to focus on building the Lord's church and teaching what the apostles told us to, the epistles of Paul. They need to be taught. People need to understand that. They need to be fed. They need to understand how to deal with the world that we live in today, which personally is just getting worse if you look at it, is the way I see it. That's what we need to be doing. Is it good to talk about prophecy? Yes. I think prophecy is important. Is it good to talk about the 1,000-year reign of Christ? I think it is, because who's the, all right, let me step out here. You've got the church. The church, who's the head of the church? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. A lot of people think preachers are the head of the church. I ain't the head of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Who's the bride of Christ?
The church.
The church. Now, right now, there's a lot of different churches out there. One of these days, it's all going to come to one. We'll be the bride of Christ. Now, is everybody that's a member of the church, this church, Long Mountain, so-and-so church down the road, so-and-so, are they all, because they're a member of the church, they're going to be in the bride of Christ?
No.
Nah. I'm not even 100% sure I will. I don't know that. I'm going to leave that up to the Lord Jesus. He's going to pick and choose on that, because I believe you got to be a disciple of Christ.
Come on, preach.
To be in the bride of Christ.
Amen.
You see, I was brought up in a whole different world of that, because we were taught that there's a certain denomination that's the bride of Christ. Everybody else is outside of that. That's hogwash.
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of... The church at Sardis, you ever read about them?
Uh-huh.
They were horrible. Horrible folk. But the Lord Jesus said, there's still some of you that ain't going along with that. You walk with me in white. There were still some people in that church, even though it fell apart and had turned to Satan, to be honest with you. They were still there, and they were still believing in their heart and striving to serve the Lord. And he said, some of you guys will walk with me in white.
Amen.
You see, for a lot of years, I thought, well, I just got to get saved and be a member of the church, and hey, I'll be in the bride of Christ. Uh-uh. Bible don't teach that. That's what I'm talking about. When we start teaching these things, you need to start digging around in there to see if what a scriptural church is. If it ain't following this, and I ain't talking about my opinion, I'm talking about this. If it ain't following this, it ain't a scriptural church. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's certain churches that don't pass the offering plate. They got a box back there, and people put the money in. They ain't a scriptural church. You got to stand up here and hold the offering. No, I'm kidding. There are people that think that if you don't come up here and have an offering plate and pass it around, wow, that ain't right. They have nothing to do with it.
That's right.
It's the serious stuff in here. That's what I'm talking about. I'll go ahead and tell you. I believe you are to be a member of a church to partake of the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
But I've instructed my deacons. You go out here and hand the plate around. I don't care whether they're a member or not. If they reach out, don't slap their hand. Let them partake of it. That's between them and God. Them and God will work that out.
That's right.
I'm going to step out on another limb. It's a thin one. If a person partakes of the Lord's Supper and they're not a member of that particular church, if they're doing it with the right heart,
I don't think God's going to deal harshly with it. I think God will lay it on their heart what they need to do at some point. But I don't think God's going to. When it talks about people that got problems, it was talking to a church that had some serious sexual issues. And you had a guy in there dating his stepmom. Well, I won't go into details about the dating part. You can fill your head through that. That ain't right. They had some things going on in that church that wasn't good. And that's what Paul was talking about. You're not right with the Lord. You got things going on with the Lord that with your life. You're deliberately going out there and sinning. That's the people that better be careful when they're protecting the Lord's Supper. God may kill you. He did back then. Same God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that's what he was talking about.
So, I don't know. We're going to open up here before long into chapter 4. And I got to stop because I got 3 minutes if we stop at 7. I want to read one verse that's very important. Verse 21 of chapter 3. He said, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." What I gather, if you're in a church, and that church maybe, I know a lady this happened to. She was in a little Southern Baptist church in Kentucky when it first started. And she said, she told my pastor at that time, she said, "Man, we were preaching the word. Everything was going good." And she says, "But I disagree with what's going on now. Because I met the assistant pastor, and she was a nice lady. But there's the problem. She was a nice lady. And this lady told me, she said, we've got an assistant pastor that's a female." She said, "That ain't right." She said, "But I don't go for that." She said, "And I don't want to leave my church." She said, "I've been there ever since I was a little girl." She said, "And I still love a lot of people there." My pastor at that time told her, he said, "Listen." He said, "You stay where you're at. You keep serving the Lord the way you know it's right." Because he gave her the example, Sardis. Now he told her... He said, "Now you pray about it, and if the Lord wants you to come over here, you come on over here." And because he said, "I'd love to have you here." To my knowledge, well, she didn't leave there all the years that I knew of right away. She stayed there, but they quit having services on Sunday nights, so she'd come over to this other church on Sunday nights. They wasn't having services on Wednesday night unless you were a kid, so she would come over on Wednesday night. I think 4, 5, 6 years later, she actually finally did join that. She left her church and she joined this other one. And I get it, but she prayed about it. And she felt that's where the Lord led her. That's what we have to do. Anytime we want to join a church or we want to go somewhere else and maybe your job moves you, you need to pray about where you're going. And if the Lord wants you there, you'll be there. That's where you'll be, and you'll be blessed for being there. But you need to join that church, because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there are blessings for becoming a member of the Lord's church. Outside of that, you don't have the protection, honestly, you don't, of the Holy Spirit as a collected group. You ought to be a member of it. But make sure that's where the Lord wants you. Because I'll be honest with you, if it ain't where the Lord wants you here, I don't want you here, because it ain't going to be nothing but a problem. Now, I know some people in here, I'd love to have you, all you guys, members. But I want you to make sure that that's what the Lord wants, because that's the important thing. Is that what the Lord wants in your life? How important is the church? The Lord Jesus died for the church. And I believe it's that important. And that's why I am a church person. Now, with that said, we're going to pick up in chapter 4. Maybe Wednesday, we'll see. Depends on how the Lord goes, but I'd like to go through chapter 4, and then we'll see if the Lord leads us to chapter 5. Amen? We'll just follow His guidance.